Mr. Tim Watts, welcome to SBS Radio. You were recently in India for India-Australia Youth Dialogue. I will begin by asking how the experience was and what are the meaningful takeaways from there?
Yeah, it was an amazing experience. I've obviously been to India before, as many Australians have, as a tourist on holidays, but this is the first time that I've been able to go in a professional sense. The Australia-India Youth Dialogue lets 15 young Australians sit down with 15 young Indians from a range of backgrounds and really share an experience of getting to know the relative cultures of each country. So as a personal development experience, I felt I learnt an enormous amount from spending that month, that amount of time with 15 bright and highly talented young Indians. But also I think it's important for the relationship between both countries that we have a program like this on an ongoing basis to develop this kind of understanding.
And did you come across any under 35 Indian politicians yet?
I did, actually. It was a bit of a joke while I was over there that as a 33-year-old member of parliament, I could be a young politician in India for the next 20 years.
But maybe 40 years.
Well, possibly. But there was a young man, Harsh Sangavari, who's an MLA from Gujarat. And he leads the BJP youth wing over there. He and I spent a lot of time together, and he's another young member of parliament, and he's under 35. So that was a good experience comparing notes about what it's like being a young member of parliament in India and in Australia.
Yeah, I was reading some press reports from Mohali, where you visited Indian School of Business there, and you were quoted as saying that you were advocating relaxing visa for Indian students, rather simplification of visa process for Indian students. Would you like to articulate that view?
Sure. Well, the question was put to me whether I wanted to see more Indian students coming to Australia, and my response to that was I certainly did. We've got somewhere in the range of 500,000 Indian Australians in Australia at the moment. My electorate, Gellibrand, in Melbourne's west, from Footscray through to Sunshine, has a very large community of Indian Australians, and we know that that community makes an enormous contribution to our way of life, to our businesses, to our community groups, and to our culture. So the question to me was, it seems like there is a lot of people going to Australia from India to study. And I said, that's absolutely true, and we want more. I think Australia's got a lot to gain from more Indian students and more Indians of all backgrounds coming to Australia.
But simplification of the process, did it figure somewhere?
Well, I mean, I didn't go into the detail of that. I mean,
the
current systems and the current processes, I think, can facilitate more people coming. But, you know, as a statement of general principle, I think we all benefit from a greater flow of people.
Yeah. Okay. The Indians traditionally have been a very close-knit families, and but Indians are the biggest, one of the fastest-growing communities here in Australia. Long-stay visa for parents of Indian migrants is a huge issue here. Labor is announcing its policies now on housing, education, etc., healthcare. Can we get to see something happening on this front as well?
Yeah, this is an issue that I can appreciate on a first-hand basis. My wife's Chinese Australian, and when her parents moved to Australia, they ultimately brought their mother to Australia as well. And I know from talking to the people in my community that that's something that really benefits everyone in the family and everyone in the broader community, because in cultures like Indian culture, like many Asian cultures, having parents around allows the family to really invest in the human capital of the next generation. You know, having the parent figures there is what lets the next generation work and the generation below that study and develop themselves so that they can make a bigger contribution to society. So I certainly understand how important this is. I've heard from a lot of people that there's a desire for change there, and as I say, I'll feed that into our policy-making processes, and when the time comes, there'll be an announcement on that.
And coming to India-Australia relationship under the coalition government, there seems to have been, you know, great impetus to trade ties, comprehensive economic cooperation agreement is being negotiated, nuclear pact has already been signed. How far do you think both countries can get in terms of economic cooperation in the times to come?
Yeah, I think substantially greater relationship in times to come. At the moment, our two-way trade is somewhere in the order of $20 billion. It sort of puts India around the sort of top 10 of our largest trading partners. But I think if you ask most Australians to sort of rank the number of countries in the world that we have the most in common with, India would be very high up there. We have very similar values in terms of both being democracies. We have similar cultural values. We do similar things in our spare time. We play cricket, we play hockey. But this shared cultural and democratic values haven't translated into the same economic oomph that we see in other relationships, particularly with China, for example. Something that I want to see happen a lot more is that those people-to-people ties between the Indian-Australian diaspora and Indians who are still in India, so non-resident Indians, I think it should be a part of expanding that trade relationship in a really big way. We saw it happen with the Chinese diaspora in Australia, driving direct investment and trade back to China, and I really want to see that happen in India. So in that respect, I think it's fantastic that the government has appointed Ms. Harinder Sidhu as the new High Commissioner to Australia, because I think drawing on that experience of the Indian diaspora is something we need to do in all aspects of the relationship.
Yeah, especially in the backdrop of the Chinese economy weakening, and there have been sounds from the government that it can actually be an opportunity for government to look towards India. Do you appreciate that view?
That's absolutely right. The two big diaspora communities in Australia at the moment are the Chinese and the Indians, and I think we need to have a greater focus on that Indian-Australian diaspora. It's a relationship that I think can be a lot larger than it is today, but it's something that needs a greater political focus, I think. And as a member of parliament that's lucky enough to represent a very large Indian Australian community, it's something that I am a bit of an evangelist with my colleagues. I try to always remind my colleagues that this is something we can invest further into, and that's why I spent my summer holidays off my own bat at the Australia India Youth Dialogue, because it's something that I really see as an investment that I want to make over the entire length of my career, over many, many years in politics.
And finally, one question coming back to not many migrant politicians in federal politics. There was Lisa Singh, but she's not being offered another term. Do you think it's a wrong that needs to be addressed, cutting across party lines, not just Labour, but cutting across party lines? We need to see more vibrant and more diverse Parliament, federal parliament at least.
No, absolutely. I mean, there's been a lot of talk recently, more broadly, about the bamboo ceiling in Australia, where we have members of the Asian diaspora communities succeeding in almost every aspect of our society, doing very well in the professions, doing very well in the business sector. But in those sort of the formal institutions of our society, so on the boards of our companies, in the Australian Defence Force, in DFAT, and in our parliaments, we're not seeing as many Asian Australians breaking through as would be justified by the numbers in the community. So it's something that I think is important. I certainly spend a lot of time with my Indian Australian community encouraging that. I want to see young leaders coming up in Australia that we can back into the parliament. It's not something that just changes, that just fixes itself. It's something that we need to focus on as a community, and that communities themselves need to demand, but also the broader community needs to support and nurture, because it's difficult to break into these institutions. They can be very conservative, they can be very set in their ways. So I want our parliament to look more like the community that I live in, of which two-thirds of my voters were either born overseas or have a parent born overseas.
Really appreciate Mr. Tim Watts taking time to talk to us, and wish you all the best.
My pleasure, anytime.
SBS.
The SBS.
SBS.
SBS Radio.